All right. Let's go to our Bible study tonight, and let me get my stuff right here. I'm dropping everything today. All right. It just... Okay. Okay, if you could turn your Bibles to Judges chapter 16. As we continue to do our journey, to make our journey through the book of Judges. And tonight we come into Judges chapter 16. And I get myself here. Let's look at verse 1. And I'm going to read three verses here, and we're going to dissect these three verses. And for the night, let's see. It says, Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there a harlot, and went into her. And it was told that the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in, and lay wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all night, saying, in the morning when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your love, Lord. And I just pray, Father, as we look at these three verses tonight, help us, Lord. To be strong and not to fall in the snares of sin, Lord. Help us tonight, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight I choose this title, Sin is Knocking at Your Door. And let me tell you, folks, from the moment we wake up in the morning until we go to sleep at night, sin is just one step away from always knocking at our doors. Especially always the weaker part of us, the things that we struggle the most, seems like we fail the most, or we fall the most, and we have to be always on guard. Samson had a problem with woman. Okay? If you look at the life of Samson, he had a problem with woman. Not Jewish woman, with Philistine woman, the enemy. This guy got in trouble. He didn't learn. He kept going to the same problem. And here is again, last week when we talked about, he said he judged Israel for 20 years. So we don't know how long it's going from chapter 15 to chapter 16. We don't know how the gap, because the Bible is compact in many ways. So we don't know how many years, how long, I'm going to assume 20 years. But right here, after time, it goes Samson to the same problem again. It's interesting. I was thinking about this passage, and I said, isn't that the way some Christians are? They go back, they look at the world, they get themselves in a mess because of their sin. Then, you know, the Lord mercifully reaches out to them, and they ask forgiveness, and they come back to the Lord for a time until their eyes caught something again, or catch something again, and they're back in the same problem. So this man went to Gaza. He shouldn't go there. First of all, enemy territory. And he what? Lay his eyes upon a woman. Interesting. So after a period of peace and steadfastness and service, Samson falls once again into his old ways. Folks, we have to be careful that we don't fall in our old ways. You know, the ways that the weakness that we have, the ways of sin. We don't want to fall again in those old ways. And it said, Samson falls once again, like I said, as always, as old passions rise to the surface, and Samson once again finds himself entangled in a web of sin. Samson may have been powerful, a powerful man physically, but he was moral weak. Morally, he was very weak. He may have demonstrated his power time and time again over the enemies of the Lord, but he was helpless against the power of his own flesh. We all possess those areas of life in which we are vulnerable to attack. We all possess the area on our walk with the Lord with which we are prone to fail. Listen, if we were sincere with each other right here tonight, okay, and we would talk about our weakness, we'll be surprised, each one of us, the weakness that we have. You might listen to someone, this is my weakness. And you look at them like, that's silly. Well, that's what you tell. They hear your weakness, and they're going to go, oh, that's silly. But to us, it's not silly. To us, it's serious. Because we know we have that tendency to fall into that. Well, that was Simpson. Simpson's problem was a woman. Not just any woman, Philistine woman. Because every time there's a Philistine woman, there he goes again. So it is interesting that he goes back and he's with the Lord for a time, then until he puts his eyes on something. Let me tell you, folks, we have to be careful with our eyes. We really do. Listen. If you look at America like 10 years ago, or let's say, about 10 years, maybe 15, 20 years ago, and in America of today, we've been desensitized in many ways. Go to the grocery store and look at the magazines in the side. It was about 15 years ago. You didn't see those things. I mean, in those days, we probably would say that's pornography. It is amazing what we see. Billboards in the highway. I mean, it's everywhere. And we as a society, even Christians, we've been desensitized. And we glance and we even think nothing of it. We're so used to it. I mean, and be careful what you watch on the internet. These pictures, these things that come about, it's amazing. Actually, today I was talking with a young man at my job. He's not a Christian. He doesn't go to church. But I told him, the way he was talking, I said, listen, it's not my business. Because he started talking to me, so I used the opportunity. So he started talking to me. I looked at him, I said, listen, I would be careful the way you're talking and the way you go about it, because if what you're saying is true, I don't see you married for a long time. And he looked at me, he's like, are you serious? I said, I am dead serious. But we live in a society so desensitized by sin everywhere. So we all possess our weakness. We all have our weakness, things that we prone to fail. And we have to be always on guard. If not, there we are. The writer of Hebrews calls this the sin which thou so be easily beset us or beset us. Hebrews. So for Samson, his weakness was woman and illicit sexual relationships. For others, it might be the quest for money, fame, popularity, position, ambitions, or power. For some, it might be pride, lust, selfishness, gossip, anger, malice, or a host of other sins, whatever it is. However, that besetting or besetting sin might be for you. I don't know what it is, but we all have our weakness. We all have that thing that we can find ourselves falling. And we have to ask the Lord to help us. You know, here's a man, a British man, says a writer says these things. He says, in knowing his lifestyle, he says these things as he wrote these words down. He said, I can resist anything but temptation. The only way to get rid of temptation is to yield to it. Here's a man that is not even a Christian, and he's admitting to it. He said the easy way to resist temptation is just to yield to it. You know, they won't bother you after that. That seems to be the motto of that Simpson embraced in his life. And I am so sad to say this, but it seems to be the way many Christians embrace it too. They engage themselves in all kinds of different things, and they're so desensitized by it, and to a point that it doesn't bother them anymore. So this passage is a reminder of the great power sin holds over us. It is a reminder that we never really defeat sin. It is always there and is always ready to overtake us. And let me tell you, each and every day we have to put the whole armor of God, otherwise we're going to be defeated. And I'm talking about just all of us. Folks, all of us, we have to put ourselves into this, because if we don't get up in the morning and put in the whole arm of God, guess what? You're heading for battle and you're going to be defeated. And by the end of the day, or sometime through the day, you're going to be asking the Lord to forgive you. It is a battle, folks. Listen, we live in enemy ground. Sin is all around us. We can say, like this writer says, we can just yield to temptation so it doesn't bother us. But if we're going to resist it, of course it's going to be a battle. So this is a reminder that we must be ever vigilant and aware of sin's presence and the power that it holds in our lives. This is a reminder that one moment of weakness can cause us to fall back into the old sinful habits we once had before. It doesn't take much. This passage is said because it is a terrible way for Samson to conclude 20 years of a successful ministry. He acknowledged the Lord. Last week we talked about that. And he judged Israel for 20 years. And then we see Samson falling back to the same trap again. I tell you, folks, if we don't keep our eyes on the Lord, we're going to fail. So let's look at this from several points tonight about sin is knocking at your door. Number one, we see Samson and his sin. Look at verse 1. And then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went unto her. Listen, there's a couple of things wrong with this guy here. First of all, he's the judge of Israel. What is he doing in Gaza? He's supposed to be home. What went to this guy's mind to go to that place? Another thing is, this is not just a woman, this is a harlot. He puts his eyes on a harlot and of course he has relations with her. This is the judge of Israel. This is a man that's supposed to be separated. How sad is that? But see, folks, we look back to the life of Samson and we can point fingers. We can say, Samson, oh, what happened to you? No, look what God did to you. Look what you do. What about us? What about my life and your life were written in the Bible? That would be different, isn't it? But let me say, God knows about it. God knows our weakness. See, he went to a place he shouldn't be. And secondly, he lay his eyes on something that he shouldn't. Folks, that happens to all of us. We need to be careful where we put our eyes and what we look at. Because it comes through the eyes and goes to the heart and to the mind. And that's what Samson did. So letter A, it said A involves the wrong walk. The Bible says that Samson went to Gaza. Gaza was a Philistine city located near the Mediterranean Sea. It was situated on the main road that allowed travel between Egypt and Babylon and Assyria. It was a commercial and a military crossroads. So the name Gaza means strength, and it was a Philistine stronghold. It was a place known as for its wickedness and idolatry. It was no place for God's men to be. Listen, folks, it doesn't matter where you spend your time. If you consistently find yourself in places where you are surrounded by sin, you need to remove yourself from it. I can take it. Really? I'm strong enough. I can go over there. It doesn't bother me. Really? I know many people that said that and failed. I don't say that because I know what's going to happen. What about when we sit in front of our TVs? What about when we search the internet? If that thing is not good for you, don't watch it. By the way, if Jesus was sitting next to you, would you go to those sites? Or would you watch that movie? Oh no, Jesus is here. Well, the Holy Spirit is in you. See, we forget those things. So if I'm a child of God, I'm a possessor of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? It resides in me. We say, well, if I say to you all, if Jesus was there, would you watch that TV show? Would you go to that website? Oh, no. What is it? The Holy Spirit is in you. But we do it anyway. So we need to remove ourselves from this place. I mean, I love the example of Joseph in the Old Testament. What did he do? He ran. He didn't say, let me go back and get my clothes that she ripped out of my body. No, he didn't care. You know why? Because he knew he was going to sin against God. Tell you what, I'm not saying that all of us are tempted by sexual sin. Don't misunderstand me here. We just deal with that because that's what the passage is talking about. But all kinds of weakness that we have in our life. Some people might have a weakness on overeating. All right, some people might have weakness on French crawlers. That's me. All right? I said, I have to run away from the French crawler. Because every time I see one, I was like, oh, and I have to walk the other way, otherwise I'll be eating the thing. But, you know, it's a weakness, and it's amazing. It overtakes our mind, and we begin to justify it. And after we finish eating, we go, oh, what a mistake. Why did I eat that bowl of sugar for? But anyway, but this is what happened here. So the Bible warns us to avoid places where we might be tempted to sin. Look, if you might want to write this verse in Proverbs chapter 4. In verse 14 it says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the ways of the evil man. Avoid it, pass it not by, turn from it, and pass away. The Bible warns us. And listen, if it's a place, let me put it this way. I remember, this is a true story. This man was a drunkard. Alright? He was hanging on the bar all the time. And this man got, his wife was a Christian. The pastor came to the house, led the man to the Lord. Amen. He didn't drive because he was afraid he was going to kill somebody. He didn't drive, so he walked to work. And that particular day, after the day he got saved, his wife was concerned because he didn't show up at the right time. You know, the man is like, you know, some people are very punctual. This guy, and she's, when he arrives home, she said, honey, where you been? I was like, it's been a long time. You don't get home this late. I said, honey, I went all the way around. And she said, why? Because if I go through that road, I'm going to go right to that bar. So I went all the way around, so I don't go to the bar. That's what we need to do. Sometimes we need to walk away, avoid, get another long walk so we don't fall into that path of sin. Well, Samson didn't try to do that. Samson went to the place and lay his eyes upon something you shouldn't. You see, if you are an alcoholic, you should avoid the beer and the liquors. You don't even go to the liquor store. So why? Because that's where you're going to fail. I mean, if that's your problem. If you are a drug addict, you shouldn't avoid the places where you buy such a things. Or the people you know that have those things. Falling into this type of sin does not always require a change of physical address. For instance, if you have a problem with lust, be careful where you go on the internet or the TV that you watch. I mentioned that. If you have problems with gossip, be careful to whom you talk on the phone with or even something, some other things you do. We just have to be careful, be on guard. The lesson we learned from Lot's example is priceless. 2 Peter 2:8 says, for the righteous, that righteous man dwelleth among them, in seeing and hearing, waxed his righteous soul from day to day in their unlawful deeds. So Lot placed himself and his family directly in the crossroads of sin by moving into Sodom. And that's what happened, folks. What happened to Lot? Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. And say, why? I'm strong. I can deal with it. I just look at these guys down there. Oh, I'll never go down there. Before you know, where's Lot? In Sodom, doing what? Living there. And before you know, his family is a mess. And we say, well, let's listen, folks. Temptation is strong, and sin is strong and inviting. It was always appeasing to the eye. So, listen, if you see on TV, especially it always happens during sports time, most of the time, all this liquor comes about. What liquor got to do with sports? Tell me about it. You give a guy that plays sports, you play sports, right? You go and drink something, play sports, it just, you lose it all. I tell you, folks, I played sports before. What liquor got to do with sport? You know what? They want to make money. So they put all that stuff there. But they don't tell you what happened after that. What happened to family destroys? What happened to relationships in homes between kids and teenagers when mom or dad walk home all drunk? They don't tell you about when the police have to come to the house because mom and dad are killing each other. They don't tell you those things. No, because they don't make money if they would. So sin looks attractive all the time, but sin never tells you what comes after. And a lot of times it's pain. Letter B involves the wrong look. Involves the wrong look. We are told that in Gaza, Samson saw there a harlot. Samson has always had eye trouble. It seemed that he still does. He cast his gaze on the wrong things and has led him into sin. So if we do not guard our eye, we will allow things into our minds that will cause us to be tempted. It's possible to, let me tell you, it doesn't matter what weakness you have. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be lost. It can be whatever it is, overeating. It can be over, whatever it is. But let me tell you, when we put our eyes into it and we begin to see and our mind begins to justify, guess, is there any desire that wants? And the inner desire becomes so strong, then you just fall into it. All right. So, you're in a restaurant eating. You have a nice appetizer. You got a nice dinner. And you're about to pay the bill and you fall. You can't even move in that chair. And here comes the waitress. You want some dessert? And you go, oh, no, I'm all set. No, thank you. And she goes, we have this and this and this and this and this and this. And you go, what's that one? And you go, this one. Oh, it's too big. And your wife goes, we can split it. And you find yourself, what happened? You give in to temptation. See how easy it gets you? That's how temptation comes in. You find yourself in the end going, why in the world did I eat that for? So it involves the wrong look. Actually, the Bible says, you might want to write these verses down if you want. In Psalm 119, verse 37 says, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Job 31:1 says, I made a covenant, listen what it says, with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Proverbs 4:25 it says, let thine eyes look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight before thee. Pound the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. I tell you what, the Lord gave us the warnings about these things. Listen, we live in a sinful world. We have a sinful body. But we have a great God that gave us a wonderful word. Listen, there is nothing in this world that you and I cannot resist. We can live victoriously in this world. And let me tell you, temptation is hard. And temptation can be really going inside your heart and your mind and pounding you. But let me tell you, we can be victorious if we use the Word of God. And let me tell you, and sometimes it won't be easy. Let us see, it involves the wrong actions. Look what it says. We are told that Samson went into her. You understand what the Bible says right here. Samson's sin was not an accident. It was not merely a man overtaken by some snare of the devil. It was not like, okay, all right, okay. No. He went to the wrong place. He put his eyes on the wrong thing. And he proceeds to fall into action of what he was thinking in his mind. That's what sin does. Sin sees. Sin justifies. And sin desires. And when a desire is so strong, it acts upon. Don't you know that a lot of people, when they got caught, that's when they regret it? I mean, I love those politics. I don't care what politics they are. When they got caught about doing something wrong, I'm sorry. I mean, you're not sorry. You're just trying to get away or run away so everything gets hush-hush. You're not sorry, because if you're sorry, you stopped this thing long ago. You're just plain sorry because you got caught. A lot of times, that's the way we are too. So it involves the wrong actions. This man was in the wrong place, looking at the wrong thing, meditating on the wrong stuff, and find himself doing something that he shouldn't do. This man was to be, it was a Nazarite, was to be set apart for the Lord's service. But guess what he's doing? He's back into the old self. And let me tell you, we, our royal priesthood, according to the New Testament, we are to live lives set apart. We are to be holy. The Bible says, be holy for what? I am holy. I said, well, I can't be holy. Yeah, we are to set ourselves apart for the service of the Lord. Not entertain sin in our lives. All right, number two. We see Samson and his enemies. First we see Samson and his sin. Number two, Samson and his enemies. Look at verse 2. And it was told that the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither, and they compass him in and lay wait for him all night, and in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning when it is day, we shall kill him. So when Samson is in the company of the harlot, his enemies discover that he is in town. They set a trap to capture him. So Samson didn't know how dangerous this guy is because how strong he is. So they try to get to trap him in. So Samson told he would turn aside for a few minutes of pleasure in a sexual relationship. He thought he would have his fun and just leave town. He never thought he would get caught. And that's what happened. I just mentioned that's what happened to all of us. We are practicing this sin. We think, they do it, then they do it again, then they do it again. I mean, I'm not going to mention the politician, but there was a politician in our state that was caught in corruption. And a question was asked to him and said, why did you do this stuff? He goes, it only takes one time. So when the thing goes in front of your desk and you do it one time and you get away with it, and he did it for many years until he was caught. But he said himself, only takes one time. You do it, you don't get caught, and that's it. And you keep doing it because he's going to know anyway. This guy, maybe the reason why he went to Gaza, he didn't want nobody to know. He's away from the hometown. Nobody talk about it because he is a winger. But God knows because it's in the Bible. So while Samson is in the company of the harlot, his enemies discover that he is in town, like I said. He never thought that he would get caught. Then again, neither do we. The truth is, Samson used us, Satan used our sins to set us a trap so we can fall. Let me tell you this. If you are a Christian here tonight, Satan wants to put you in a shelf somewhere so you don't ever be used of the Lord. He wants you to be so shameful about your sin that you see yourself in a shelf and say, God cannot use me any longer. Look, I failed. I'm a fail. That's what he wants you to. And he laughs at us because we have in our mind we fail and God can never use us again. Let me tell you, God can use you. We ask forgiveness. And the Bible says that His mercies are new every morning, and we can go on serving the Lord. So let A, we see the trap of sin in verse 2. In verse 18, the Bible tells us the Philistines compassed him. That means that his enemies surrounded him. They lay a trap for his capture. That is the way sin works as well, folks. Some people criticize Christianity and say that it's too restrictive. They complain in the ways of God is no fun at all. And they leave no freedom to them. That's why some people say, I'm going to church. Church is boring. Read my Bible. Oh, it's boring. Oh, I mean, if I follow the Bible, I have no fun in life. That's what they say. Some Christians even say that too. What the critics fail to see is that the way of God, that is, a life lived according to the Word of God, is a life of true freedom, while sin is a life of captivity. Let me explain this. Sin is like a boa restrictor and circles the lives of its victims and slowly squeezes the life out of them. That's what sin does. It goes around that person, around that, and squeezes the life out of that person. The freedom of the sin is stolen away by the mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual toll of sin. Diseases, infections, trauma, financial losses, ruined relationships, destroyed families, scattered trust, depression, and for some incarceration, limit the freedom of living and bring destruction and pain. That's what sin does. See, if you look at these commercials and these TV things, oh, this is all fun. But they don't tell you what sin does. The Bible says it brings forth death. The life of sin is not a life of freedom, it's a life of profound bondage and dark slavery. So the guys go out there and have all kinds of fun, and the girl comes, ah, I'm expecting a baby. Oh, well, don't you do some abortion somewhere? The thing is, it's all kinds of fun until they get burned. And see, sin is no fun. That's why Jesus died. He went to Calvary because of that. Let it be, we see, the patient work of sin. Look at verse 2 again. It says, lay wait for him all night. Let me tell you, folks, they lay wait for Simpson to have his fun. He said, let him have his fun. Let him enjoy it. Because in the morning, we're going to get him. That's what sin does. Sin promised pleasure. That's what sin does. Listen, when somebody's enjoying the ways of sin, they don't think about the consequences. Oh, goodness. I remember when I was a teenager that day. I said this when he had thought one time before. My friend came and I knew my friend. we didn't have nothing. Oh, he didn't have anything either. All right. So anyway, he said, hey, my dad bought, I said, I know I said this before here. My dad bought this, a couple acres of land. There's a lot of fruit trees, banana trees there. You know, where I come from is all those trees are there. I look at him, I was like, really? He goes, yeah, you want to see. So we went. Oh, goodness, here we eat. Orange and tangerines and bananas. It was all good. I didn't think about anything that day. Everything was so platted because there was a lot of food. Till I came home and my wife, my mom asked me, where you been? I've been in so-and-so's property. So what do you mean? This dad bought this couple acres of the down there. And I explained my mom where it is. And my mom knew exactly where that land belonged to. We don't think about it. We don't. Sometimes that's what happens. We justify because it looks pleasant. Until it comes about. See, sin is also patient in the way it works. It will play its card close to the vest until the sin is hopelessly entangled at its web. The sinner doesn't always feel the trap closing around than when they are living out of their pleasureful lifestyle. But sin is patience, and when the time is right, it will spring the trap and destroy the life of its victim. Most of the time, by the time the results of sin are known, it's too late to escape the trap. As the chronic alcoholic is there, I'm sorry. If it's there, is a stain in the liquor bottle. Let's say, ask the AIDS victim, and he feels the sting associated with that his lifestyle. Ask all these people that got involved in those horrible sins, and there's always consequences in the end. I met a man, a young man in the Providence Rescue Mission. And he came to me, and he was in the working program there. And I asked him, because I know that's a working program. I know these people, most of them been in the ACI. And I asked him, so what happened to you? He said, my drinking problem was so bad that I began to commit crimes. Then I paid for what I did. So I'm in this working program, and I think the Lord is helping me on this. Okay. I don't see him for a while. Maybe 4, 5, 6 months. I see him again there at the rescue mission. I ask him, where you been? He said, I fell into sin again. I fell into the temptation of drinking, and I began to do the same thing again. I got caught. And folks, there is a pull. There is a strong pull. Especially those things we are weak to. That we find ourselves falling all the time. Listen, we need the Lord. We need the arm of God and put it on. So we don't fall into those things. Let us see. We see the silence work of sin. The Bible says that the Philistines lay quiet all the night. They did not let Samson know they were laying there waiting to capture him. Such is the nature of sin. Sin does not that never tells us the truth. Sin leads the sinner to believe that it can be pleasure with no consequences. Isn't that the world that we live in? Pleasure with no consequences. Let me tell you, folks, for pleasure, there's always consequences. Always consequences. So the young man and the young woman, you know, they go out and they do what they're not supposed to be doing. There's always the consequences that come out of it. Is it, yeah, another person that goes in the store, steals something? There's always consequences. It comes about. You might get away with it for a time or two, but you're going to get caught. I'll tell you what, one time, it was so sad. I was in a grocery store in a Saturday morning. And I was just minding my business, and I see two police officers just walk right in. And I was curious. I was like, maybe they'll go shopping. Well, it was two ladies down just about 10 feet away from me. They arrested two ladies right there. And I began to listen to the people talking about it. They were stealing. And they called the police. But see, sin, when we do and we think it's okay, until it shows its ugly head. Letter D, the enslaving work of sin. The Philistine said, when it is day, we shall kill him. So that was a plan for Samson. Philistines laid a trap and they planned to capture and kill Samson. That is the end of sin. Look what it said. Go to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. It is clear this is what this verse says about sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Look what it says. For the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life to Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible is clear. The wages of sin is what? Death. And let me tell you, how many people are paying right now, present tense, for the consequences of their sin? Some Christians are, and many non-Christians are the same way. Listen, we have to be careful about the choices that we make. You have to be careful about the temptations that we allow to come into our heart. And we have temptations to be careful about what these eyes are looking onto. Because we can fall into sin. Listen, folks, sin is destructive. If the sinner does not escape, it will experience death in hell. You see, some people have a tendency to get away with all kinds of things in this earth. Sometimes we say, like, how could these people never get caught? Don't we say that? Like, how could people do all these things and never get caught? Well, there's one thing waiting for them. Hell. You see, sin kills joy, peace, relationships, marriages, hope, churches, and even the human spirit. Sin is a killer. Sin kills everything it touches. I praise God that there is victory in Jesus. But let me tell you, I can fall and I can get up. Let me tell you this. Listen, I'm not trying to preach a doomsday today. I'm trying to help you tonight. But let me tell you, if we fall into sin, go to Jesus. Get up and ask Him to forgive immediately. Don't just let it go. Oh, I do a church. No. Do it immediately, Lord. I fail again. Forgive me. Let me tell you. With the prodigal son, is a great story. What a great example. What did he ask his father for all his goods, you know, part of his inheritance? He went away. And let me tell you what happened. He put his eyes on things he shouldn't put, and he found himself with the swine. That's what sin leads us. He came to the end of himself and said, I'm going home. And daddy was there waiting for him. And that's what God does. Listen, when we fall into sin, God is there waiting for us to turn back around. What a great God we serve, isn't it? Praise the Lord for him. I mean, sometimes we are defeated and broken. And nobody will ever understand us, how broken we are. It is a God that says, I know, I understand you. I know how you are. I will forgive you. I will give you my joy again. What a great God. I praise the Lord that there is victory in Jesus. I'm glad that He can deliver us from this life of sin. Number three, you see Samson and his victory. And Samson lay till midnight and arose in at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and of the post and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carry them on the top of a hill that is before Hebron. I mean, you look at this verse and you have to think about really meditating on this verse. This guy was a beast, so to speak. This guy was a strong man. The Philistines had laid their trap for Samson and they were determined to capture and kill him. But Samson did something here that is really unheard. So notice how the Lord delivered him from his enemies. Let me tell you, folks, it was not Samson then deliver himself from a situation. It was God. All right? We say, well, Samson was a stronger man to ever live. No, no. You give him the strength. God did. Okay? That day, we see the power of his victory. When Samson awoke, he got up, went out, and took the gates of the city and carried them away to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. That is an astonished feat of strength right here. Samson ripped the gates of the post and the whole gate assembly out of the ground and carried them 38 miles to Hebron, a journey that was mostly uphill. The weight of this would have been in the thousands of pounds, and yet Samson carried it away like it was nothing. Who gave him that strength? God did. Who gave him that victory? God did. So regardless of how we appear on the outside, it is the content of our heart that matters here. Samson did not sin because he was physically strong. He sinned because he was morally weak. He sinned because sin was in his heart. He cherished it and allowed it to dominate his life. The same thing, it happens to us. Listen, we fall into sin because we are morally weak and we need God. And let me tell you, whatever is the weakness that we have, we fail because we human beings, we weak. We're not as strong as we think we say we are. I can't handle. Really? Remember, even the best among us, I'm talking about the most spiritual filled person, still a sinner. All right? You remember that. Always remember that. Even the most spiritual, encouraging Christian that you can find is still a sinner and can fail and fall. Remember that even the best among us are still capable of the wiles or the vilest sin imaginable to mankind. Our hearts can become fountains of evil that will poison our life and the lives of others. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 12:34. It says, "O generation of vipers, how can we, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." You see, there's nothing good in us. We need the Lord, especially with the weak things that we have in our lives. Whatever is weak that you know in your life that you're easy for you to fail or to fall, that's what you need, the things that we need to work the hardest. There is a Christian man that said he had a problem when he was driving a car. He said, "I have a big problem when I drive my car." I said, "What is your problem?" I said, "Every time I drive a car, I'm always looking at all the women that I see when I drive. I'm always staring at it." And I said, "I think they're all beautiful." I said, "You got a problem with lust." He said, "I do. I know, but I don't know how to control my neck." I said, "It's easy. Look straight." I said, "Look straight." I said, "Listen, think of me. Look straight. When you're driving, look straight." I said, "But I find myself look straight." You know what I did? I called him several times. "Are you looking straight?" But that's what it is, because, you know, we give into it and it becomes, we get so used to it and we find ourselves looking. But that was his weakness. He said, "I don't know what to do." I even joke with him. He said, "You see this Vinny Pazienza with that boxer that we have, he messed up his neck. Then he walk around with his box on his neck." I said, "That's what you need. You need one of those things. Put it under your shoulders so when you drive, you won't be able to look." And he was laughing. But it's true. You know, sometimes, you know, we need to. But anyway, let it be we see the grace of his victory. Samson delivers was the grace of God in action in Samson's life. Samson deserved to be caught by his enemies, didn't it? He deserved. He deserved the judgment and chastisement. He did. that was coming his way and in his actions. It was the grace of God that allowed him to become aware of their plot to escape before they could spring. They could attack him and put him in prison there. Let me tell you this. Aren't you glad sometimes by the grace of God, and when we find yourself meditating on some sin, and the Lord just, that little inner voice tells you, what are you doing? Tony, what are you thinking? And you say, praise the Lord. Lord, thank you so much for that little inner voice. Listen, we know no one of us is perfect. No, we're all sinners, and we find ourselves thinking of those things. Maybe we learn from Samson right here. See, Samson had a problem. He had a woman problem. What is your problem? My problem is French crawlers. I already said several times, I died to those things. I still have to walk away from those things. And then some of you tease me with it. And I'm like, you know, like that's what sin does. Like, you know, that little bait thing. And let me tell you, this evening, I was here early, right? So I'm doing all kinds of things. I'm going in the back. Big mistake. I was in the wrong place. Okay? I went in the back. Big mistake. Opened the fridge. I almost got a heart attack because the handle came out. But I opened the fridge. Guess what I saw? A birthday cake. Then I closed and walked away. Then I turned back around. Find myself inside the box taking a piece. And let me tell you, then I fail. Then I made a cup of tea when come went to my office, and oh, that I really enjoy it. I did. It was like that's the pleasure of sin, right? And I was enjoying it. And when I finished, I had a couple of sips of tea, and I said, "Oh, that was a mistake. Regret." And I said, "You know, well, actually, it's good. Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't be eating this thing." I'm just using a silly example of what we do. And where we find ourselves many times. Because let me tell you, folks, the next chapter we're going to go, Samson's sin is going to be more serious because of that he loses his life. And let me tell you, that's what happens sometimes. Sometimes in our sins, we can get away, we can ask the Lord to forgive us, we go on with our lives, we learn about it, we try to stay strong so we don't fall to it. But there are the sins that really, literally, it brings forth destruction. And let me tell you, what happened to Lot? Oh, if you look at the life of Lot, and what happened, what sin did to him, the destruction bringing up on that family. Listen, it's a picture of a lot of families, or a lot of people throughout this world, what sin does. I conclude with this tonight. If Samson teaches us anything, he teaches that the truth, that we must guard our eyes and our hearts at all times. Guard your heart and your eyes at all times. If you don't do that, if I don't do that, look what's going to happen. We're going to fall. And some of us can fall hard. And let me tell you, I say to you tonight, all of us have weakness. Your weakness might not be sexual temptation like Samson was. Your weakness might be a variety of different things. But let me tell you, we can fall hard. So guard your hearts. Guard your eyes. And if you have to walk away from some places, walk away. If you have to remove yourself, remove yourself. If you feel you shouldn't go to certain places because what it can do to you, then don't go. Because the Lord will be very pleased with you. But is it hard? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But it's worth it. It is worth it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture tonight, Lord. We can learn so much, Lord, from the example of this man, Lord. He had a weakness, and his weakness was lost, Lord, for the wrong woman, Lord. And I just pray for us tonight, each one of us here tonight, and those who are following us on social media, Lord. Lord, all of us have weakness. Is some things in our lives we find ourselves doing it over again. Lord, give us victory. Help us, Lord, to stand strong against temptation. And Lord, that we use your word and put the whole arm of God that we can resist those things that causes us to fall. I pray in Jesus' name.